Welcome to the Equip and Encourage podcast. My heart and prayer is that I can be a source of encouragement to you in your pursuit of Jesus and to equip you in the advancement of his kingdom. Well, hey, we're going to jump in today. Welcome to the Equip and Encourage podcast. Just want to remind everybody that we're going to be doing a Q&A session next week. So it'd be awesome if you could leave me some questions. Right now, I only have one. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It could be a bad thing that nobody's asking me questions. It could be a good thing because everybody's already got all the answers. So anyway, I'm just excited about doing that next week. I'm doing a little bit of Q&A. And if no questions come in, then we'll roll with it. And just want to, before we jump into this week's encouragement, want to jump into this week's equipping session. Just wanted to share a little bit about, and it's kind of a shout out as well to my friends over at The Remnant Radio. And every week they have a show on Monday nights at 8:30. This past week I had the incredible opportunity to be on there, talked about the church a little bit on Monday. Is just kind of a fun conversation that we had there, talking about what is wrong with the church. And these guys talk every single week at 8:30 on Monday nights. Pretty easy time for people to tune in, or you can go through their archives and watch. And my friend over there, Josh Lewis, they just do such a great job tackling topics and just having conversations. They have guests every week. It's about an hour long. So anyway, I just want to encourage you to check that out. It's been I haven't just been on the show a couple of times. I've actually watched the show several times, and every time I watch, it's just really engaging, just thought provoking questions, and it's just an opportunity for you actually to interact with the guys on the show while it's live. So again, The Remnant Radio, it will be in the show notes. Well, hey, let's jump in this week to this week's encouragement. I've been doing a series on Sundays called War, and a lot of it's about spiritual warfare. We're just talking about living the overcoming life. And this past week, we dug into Ephesians 6, which talks about the weapons of our warfare, and got into that a little bit. It was a lot of fun. I'll link it in the show notes if you want to go back and listen. But one of the scriptures I wanted to get into on Sunday that I really didn't have time to because there was just so much content is a passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. And I believe that this is very much a warfare issue that a lot of us deal with. I think men probably deal with this for the most part more than women, not necessarily, but for the most part. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Got about 10 verses here. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Our old life, not our new life in Christ, our old life. Then he says this, verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self. So to put on our new self. So take off our old self, put on our new self, created to be in God in true righteousness and holiness. And we know that true righteousness and holiness can only be attained through Christ Jesus. Verse 25, therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Then it says this, do not let the sun go down while you are angry, or don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and give the devil a foothold. The New Living Translation says it this way, where it says, in your anger, do not sin. It says, do not let sin control you. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And it's obvious he's specifically talking with giving the devil a foothold in the area of our anger. Then he goes into some lifestyle things here. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. One translation says, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth except for that which is useful for edification. Many times we would use that and say it's talking about cussing, but really it's any kind of talk that would tear others down. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, and this is where we're going to focus a little bit today. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Paul is dealing, I believe, mostly in this scripture with the theme of anger, of tension, of the internal frustration that we have. Many times we allow this anger to kind of control us. And what he's getting at in verse 26 is, don't let anger control you. And, you know, many times we'll justify our anger. And let me just say this, it isn't sinful to be angry. It's sinful to allow anger to control us. It's sinful whenever we act or react out of our anger, even if the anger is justifiable. I would say even if it's what we would call a holy indignation, to react out of anger is the wrong motivation. It's not done out of love. And any time, really, for the believer that we function out of a place of frustration or anger, or we're reactive to a situation, we're not really following the Spirit. We're not following the Spirit's leading, because we're not living out of the place of a love-filled heart. So the emphasis here in the scripture is, do not let the anger control you. So my question to you today: does anger control you, or do you control your anger? If you're like me, you've struggled with your anger before. I struggled this past weekend with my anger a little bit with one of my toddlers, allowing frustration to control me. And you know, I didn't do anything abusive, but I know that I was so unsettled for about the next hour and a half, because I felt inside of me this frustration, this anger, and I think that, even though I didn't necessarily sin against my son, I think I did sin against the Lord, because I just allowed the anger to kind of motivate me. And what I need to do is, I need to be a good father and allow love to be the motivator, not my feeling. And so here's a couple of things, of thoughts that I want to share with you today about not letting your anger control you, but you controlling your anger is, number one, find the root. And by finding the root, I mean this: it's important for you to discern your feelings. A lot of times we mislabel our feelings. Sometimes we'll call hurt anger, or we'll call anger hurt, or we'll call discouragement depression. Or, you know, I think it's very important that we become accurate in the way that we label our emotions, because if we can't figure out what kind of emotion we're having, then it's difficult for us to get to the root of that emotion. And so discern your feelings, search your feelings, figure out why you are feeling the way that you are and what kind of feeling it is, I think is critical. And then dig in a little bit deeper. Once you know what that feeling is, you can dig a little bit deeper. Most of the time when we're angry, it comes from a place of hurt. We're sensitive in a certain area, so the anger is kind of trying to protect this part of our heart that's sensitive. And so discern, what is your feeling? What is it? Is it anger? Well, why are you angry? Is it hurt? Well, why are you hurt? I mean, this could be something that you've been dealing with for 20 years, and finally you're getting to it. Why does it hurt? Find the root. What is it? Number two, taken from the scripture here, is practice compassion. Again, love is always the best motivator. So practice compassion. So compassion has the ability to root out this anger. Once we find out where it is, then the compassion will drive us to go in and find solutions. So practice compassion. Practice compassion as a lifestyle. And then that way, in the moments, the compassion will actually become your default instead of the anger. So practice compassion. That's what he says here in verse 2, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And then number three would be that. Exercise forgiveness before God. Exercise that forgiveness with yourself. You know, maybe the anger that you're experiencing is a self-anger. Maybe you're mad at yourself. Maybe you have a self-hatred that you've developed over the years. Then you need to forgive yourself. You need to find God's affection and God's pulse over your life and exercise that forgiveness. Some of you, and it sounds weird for me to say this, need to forgive God. Really, you're wanting His forgiveness, but you need to let go of your frustrations that you've had towards God. And I would say also in exercising forgiveness that it's important that we communicate the forgiveness, going to the person that you have frustration with. You know, if it is yourself, then sitting down and writing yourself a note saying, listen, you know, you've been dealing with this thing for 20 years. Let's talk about it. And communicate that forgiveness. Have a conversation. Call somebody on the phone. You know, get away from typing something on a screen. Get on a phone, or you know, it might be writing a letter, or even a long text message. But something heartfelt to exercise the forgiveness. Don't just have forgiveness in your heart. Actually, extend the forgiveness outside of yourself. I really think it'll help you with your anger. And then number four is grow in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we call it the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is something that grows. You can't force patience, right? Oh, I wish I could. You can't force patience. You know, John 15 tells us if we want to produce fruit, then we have to remain in the vine. And if we will stay connected to Jesus, well connected to Jesus, then the patience that is in Jesus will start to manifest in our life. And so the way that we produce fruit is by fellowship with Jesus. That's the way that you produce fruit. You don't, you know, people say, well, hardships will put you through patience. Not necessarily. Sometimes they'll make you even more impatient. Hardships will make you hard if you do not go to Jesus. In fact, if you get a hard heart towards the Lord, it'll actually make those issues worse. So if you want to produce the fruit of the Spirit, as laid out in Galatians 5, then they are the fruit of the Spirit. Get well connected to the Spirit of God and grow in that. Grow in that. The goal should be, I just want to be better tomorrow than I am today. So hey, that's my main encouragement to you today. Get in the presence of Jesus until the presence of Jesus gets into you so much that it's producing fruit in your life. Well, hey, thank you guys for tuning in. I believe in God that you're going to have a great week. Went a little long today. Anyway, if you want to connect with me further, go to PastorJoshLeadership.com.